listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
A New York 9's and everywhere else 6. Time wise, the opposite goes for chicks. I'm in a taxi, texting with my best friend. He's sleeping with this girl that he met up on the West End. He's lucky. She's a career woman, no kids. Most girls see the clothes, try to gold dig. Most hoes poke holes in Trojans. Most people don't fucking hit the lotto, but my folks did. I'm a mess. That I'm rhyme with shit, it's just true. To bring your girlfriend here, it's just you. When I'm depressed, you're someone I run to, but I guess meet me at Pianos. They cross fading off the nanos. Off the hickster shit. And you the hipster, bitch. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday, last day of the week. Time to wrap this bad boy up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search for the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We read them on the Saturday feedback show. We let you guys know what we think about your reviews and your comments. You can leave these comments at theblackguywhotips.com. It's that simple. Go there, leave comments, vote in the polls. You can also do stuff like become a premium listener. And we have put out several premium shows this week.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing a lot grinding. Doing a lot of movie reviews because we've been seeing a lot of movies. It's Oscar season and, you know, all the big movies are out.
We critics, y'all.
We are film critics, in case you forgot. In addition to, let's see, what have we reviewed? Just in the last few days, last week or so, we reviewed Creed with Randolph Terrence. From Three Guys On. We reviewed Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2 with our girl Nicole from What's the Tea Podcast.
Yep.
We reviewed Spotlight. I reviewed Spotlight with Bleak Chris Lambert. I reviewed Room with Justin. You guys like Justin. He's from yesterday's show. And we reviewed Star Wars The Force Awakens because we saw it early.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, these are all spoiler reviews, okay? We saw early, we reviewed it with Chris, who's also a film critic, and it was a fun review.
It really was, y'all. And just so y'all know, because somebody asked, it is spoiled in the name, it's in the title, and we purposely did that because we want to openly review movies, and we understand that some people don't want it spoiled. We don't do unspoiled. We spoil, and we spoil within the first, like, 60 seconds of you listening.
Yeah, so don't listen to these reviews if you haven't seen the movies, or you know, or you plan on seeing the movies.
Right.
And then also I released the latest pregame episode, Black Friday, which is a pretty good one. We talked about holiday shopping. Mm-hmm. We talked about Love & Hip Hop review, of course. We talked about a bunch of stuff, man. It was fun. So I feel like you guys, if you're getting your money's worth, probably if you're premium out there and you're enjoying, you know, the Nerd Off, Balls Deep Sports, and all that stuff, we will be recording a new Balls Deep Sport tomorrow. So, we got that going for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And you can find us on Twitter. I'm Ryder Miss Prime.
I am Say Dat again. Dat as in D-A-T.
And the show Twitter is at TBGWT. So thanks to everybody that hooks us up and checks us out there on Twitter. You know, we live tweet stuff. Mm-hmm. We interact with fans there and whatnot, you know. Sometimes we have to block people there too, but you know, we try not to have to do that, but there's a lot of stuff that we do there on Twitter, and it's a cool way to reach out and talk to people and stuff like that. So it was cool. Shout out to our girl PMB_ESQ.
Mm-hmm.
PMB Esquire on Twitter. We actually, she's saw us eating in Qdoba and walked up and spoke to us, man, which makes the first time ever that I've been recognized from the podcast in public.
This would be the second time for me, and what was funny was that I didn't see her, so all I know was Roger was just staring. I was like, what the fuck is he looking at? What's happening behind my head?
Well, she just looked like someone that might, you know, like how you make eye contact with somebody, you're like, oh, this person might know me or something,
right?
And she waved hi, and I said, hey, you know, like, maybe we knew each other or something. Right. School, I don't know. And she was just like, I love your podcast. And I was like, whoa, that's what a small world. Like,
right.
That's crazy.
Right. And I was going to speak to her, but she was like, I know y'all ain't okay. Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't want to.
Right. She was like, I got to go on a run.
Yeah. She didn't want to bother nobody, but we appreciated her coming
we
through.
We do. Thank you. It was very sweet, sweetheart.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. That was cool, man. And also, in addition to all this stuff that we're talking about, we also have some sponsors on this day 364 of Bobby Shmurda's incarceration.
Right. I think she recognized your beard now, you know, because your beard.
Maybe she
game.
Recognized your natural hair. How do you know?
No, that's true.
You might be the star. No, don't say me. There's a lot of dudes walking around with beards. So I don't know. You know, you just assuming this stuff, but. You know, maybe not. At any rate, we are sponsored today. First and foremost, we're brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for your coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. All right? New year, new you.
Mm-hmm.
You order now, you get this shit by the first of the year.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can step into the 2016... leaving razor bumps behind, like them packages and boxes on those ladies, that lady that had that graph that graphic from last year, leaving.
Aww.
You can leave razor bumps on one of your boxes along with your ex and child support payments and whatever else you're getting rid of for 2016.
Right,
go to getbevel.com, use code TBGWT and get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. That's getbevel.com. all right. Let's see. Oh, also, you have a little sexier sponsor. Let me see. Do I have any sexy music? How about, what is this?
I guess for now you've got the last laugh.
I'm sorry if I seem uninterested or I'm not listening. No, I'm indifferent. Truly, I ain't got no.
Damn, I can pick them.
Who is this?
This is Alicia Cara, and the name of the song is Here.
Oh, never heard of her before.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you love to get more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy little surprise from her, and secondly, a little specially selected toy for him, and third, a little something that y'all both could enjoy. Smush your genitals together, people. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. Make yourself have a happy Christmas. And number 10, you get free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code TBGWT. That's TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. Play me out, boo.
And we'll discuss our big dreams, how we plan to take over the planet. So pardon my manners. I hope you'll understand that I'll be
that. That's a little smooth little jam. I like that bass line.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
she sing talking the hell out of that song.
Mm-hmm. She was sing talking. I guess first things first, Bobby Shmurda news. Apparently Martin Shkreli, the person who bought the Wu-Tang album and who hikes up drugs on people that need them, hikes up the cost on drugs that save people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a piece of shit. He's talking about bailing out Bobby Shmurda.
Mm-hmm. All money ain't good money, dog.
Yeah, he said, of course, Bobby will owe him one.
Right.
That's now, I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but like I said, all money ain't good money.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's trying to do exactly. I know that RZA, after the sale went through, actually when the news leaked that it was this dude who bought it, and you know the bad PR that comes along with that, he was like, he wanted to distance himself and say, hey, we actually made that sale back in May, we agreed upon that. So the stiff arm did not sit well with Shkreli. He said, I felt insulted. If I hand you $2 million, fucking show me some respect. At least had a decency to say nothing or no comment. Well, Shkreli didn't simply purchase the most expensive album in history and have it chill next to his Picasso. Raised in Sheep's Head Bay, the brash executive is an avid hip-hop fan. He loves Eminem and DMX and describes in detail his hope to become a part of the culture, or at least the industry. He grew up playing the guitar and piano and aspires to release his own rap album. But before that, his immediate plan is to bail out jailed Brooklyn upstart Bobby Shmurda.
All money ain't good money, dog.
I'm a fan and I'm a businessman. Look, the guy's going to have to record for me if he comes out. I'll just come out and say it. I'm not going to do this for free. To me, what I'm doing right now in the media, raising prices, all this shit, believe what you want. But it's interesting. It gets people talking. At the end of the day, that's what art is. I don't know if I can translate the shit to into rap or not, but I'll try. In 500 years, they're going to talk about rap the same way they talk. We talk about Shakespeare. I just want to throw my hat in the ring. That's all. I just want to make money.
You better stay in jail, my friend.
We're actually in a discussion to try to bail out Bobby Shmurda. Forget whether you think he's guilty or not. The guy should not be sitting in jail right now. It's insane. He's from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn. He deserves a fair trial. He deserves good lawyers. He doesn't have good lawyers. His label is hanging him out to dry. So I have a conference call tomorrow morning. That's yesterday. I'll show up with $2 million bail money. No fucking problem. He's not going to flee the country. I'm not going to lose anything. I'm going to try to make that happen. That's one thing I'm working on.
No, because you already shown yourself that you're willing to breach contracts already.
He says, I'm a fan and I'm a businessman. I'm not going to do this for free. He's going to have to do something for me. I don't know what it's going to look like. Yeah, he's going to owe me one, obviously. I'd like to pay for his legal defense as well. I'm a big fan, but I'm also an opportunist. You know that. I see opportunity here. He's a talented guy. Every concert I go to, people yell free Shmurda. He reminds me of me, quite frankly. The guy's totally irreverent. He doesn't give a damn what people think. Totally irreverent. Totally, I don't give a fuck. I love him. I just love that style. He's from not far from where I'm from in Brooklyn. I'd love to help him out. I wish someone would have helped me out when I needed help. He doesn't have much money. I know that. He's definitely hurting for money. He needs a bailout, basically. I'd like to help him out. No big promises, but I'll see what I can do. Like I said, if I can post the $2 million, I'd do it tomorrow. I'm working on it, and hopefully we'll see him free soon.
Don't you do that, because all of a sudden he's felt like he has bought him a nigga. No, sir.
Yeah, this guy just gives me the feeling like 40 years from now he's going to be running for president, and we're all going to be talking about him like Trump. You know, like one day we'd be looking at this guy like, man, that dude was always an egomaniac that said crazy shit.
Right. I go from a corporation don't give a fuck about me to a dude that don't give a fuck about me.
Anyway, if he offers you the money, take it. Do it, Bobby Shmurda. Get the fuck out of jail, dog. I ain't been sitting in jail for a year away from my family to even say for you not to take it, bro. Take that money. Get the hell out while you can.
Go ahead. At what cost? Go ahead.
At what cost? An album? What's he gonna do?
Like he said, he don't even know what he's gonna do. So who knows?
He's gonna have to record
for
me. I mean,
who knows what the fuck this dude gonna come up with?
Just get free, man. Well, I'm supposed to sit around waiting on the perfect person to come through? It's been a year. How long I'm supposed to wait?
No.
Like, guys, how many days I say it was? 354 or some shit? Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, you better take that deal? Shit.
Okay, go ahead.
364. Tomorrow is 365 days in jail a year. Yes, I will sign the contract, please.
No, I'm not going to be your fucking marching puppet just so you can get me out of jail. Fuck you.
What's he going to do? What kind of puppetry is he going to make me do?
I don't know, and that's the problem. I don't know.
See,
so,
I'm not scared. I'll just tell him no. I'll just take the money, get out, and then I'll be like, no, I'm not fucking dancing. I'm doing
okay.
We
say that now.
Bobby
but
was dancing on tables before he went to jail. I mean, is it really that big of a difference who he's dancing for? Man, you better take that money, Bobby. Don't be trying to have principles and shit. Be in jail forever. Be principled and not free. Tyler Perry will host and narrate a 2-hour religious musical event for Fox.
No, thank you. Mm. I won't be watching that.
Man, today is a day of no for Karen.
Right, you know.
All right. Well, The Passion is the name of it. It'll tell the story of the last hours of Jesus Christ's life on earth, like the Passion of the Christ, including the Last Supper, Judas's betrayal, his crucifixion, and resurrection. You know, it's going to be real awkward when they had the Last Supper and everybody drinks of Jesus' blood and gets AIDS.
You know, that's going to happen. They're gonna do the typical. The light-skinned brother is the Holy Savior, and the dark-skinned brother is just the devil.
I mean,
you gonna do that?
I'm assuming Judas will be dark-skinned, and then
of course
Jesus
Medea
will be light-skinned.
Gonna be there, right? Because it ain't right without her.
Medea could be Mary Magdalene. Don't make me pop a cap up in you, Judas.
Who does Jesus think he is talking about? He gonna save me?
I'm gonna get it popping. The twist, it will be set in modern day New Orleans. As the story unfolds, the musical will visit many iconic New Orleans locations and will include, per Fox, a procession of hundreds of people carrying a 20-foot illuminated cross from Champion Square outside the Superdome to the live stage of Waldenburg Park on the banks of Mississippi River. Y'all got to see this.
Have a good time.
The Passion comes from the Netherlands, where it's been produced annually since 2011. Perry's version will include musical arrangement from Glee's Adam Anders. The Passion will air on Sunday, March 20th at 8-7 Central Fox. Get him, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm not hating at all.
Yes, you are. Absolutely are.
I'm not hating. Just because I'm not watching don't mean I'm hating.
It was definitely the way you said it that was clearly about some hate. You can try to pretend that it's not, but everybody already heard the hate coming out of your voice right as soon as you started talking. So
it's not hate.
What is it then?
I don't know. I know I'm not watching it.
Okay, Karen. All right, so you just gonna lie to the people like that?
Yep.
Well, everybody's trying to catch the wave off of that Wiz Live because it was so excellent. The Wiz Live choreographer Fatima Robertson will have her life developed into an NBC show.
Go ahead.
The life story of the Wiz choreographer Fatima Robertson is coming to the small screen.
She did an excellent job.
Yeah. It's funny how everybody's trying to catch that wave. You know, like this live performance thing, and you know, because black people, you know, we knock the ratings out the park.
Yes, we do.
You know. And
we love us, but a lot of times they'll put everything up there but us and then be like, oh, y'all do support y'all shit? No, fuck.
Yep.
And they're back shocked and surprised.
Executive producers Neil Marin and Craig Zadin are currently in talks to develop a dance drama series for NBC based on Robinson's experience in the 1990s Los Angeles dance scene.
It's not similar, but to an extent like a Fame type of thing.
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Okay.
While the project is still untitled, it will focus on the birth of hip hop dance and the dance domination of pop culture.
Oh, I'm here for this one.
Robinson's career has been influential as her choreography credits include work for the Academy Awards, NFL Super Bowl, and movie productions including Dreamgirls, Ali, Say the Last Dance, and Miami Vice. In addition, she was choreographed music video. She has choreographed music videos for Michael Jackson, Remember the Time, and Aaliyah's Rock the Boat. Oh yeah, I remember the Time. That was back when videos would premiere on like regular ass TV.
Right, 8 o'clock, and that was all that was on.
It was like after The Simpsons.
The premiere. Literally wouldn't hit it nowhere else. No radio, no downloads. If you ain't get it there, you missed the opening premiere.
It's a world premiere.
Right, everything would stop.
Remember Michael Jackson beat that car and grabbed his dick 75 times and white people got scared. He's all of a sudden they realized he was black.
All right.
Robinson's career has been influential. Yeah, in addition, she has choreographed music. Robinson, Marin, and Zayden recently worked together on a live adaptation of The Wiz. In an interview, Zayden revealed that hiring Robinson to choreograph the all black cast in the production was only right.
Right.
We hired Fatima Robinson, who is not a Broadway choreographer, to do the authentic black dancing, he said. She comes from hip hop, and a lot of her point of view on dance is very gritty, authentic, and raw. So, man, people trying to catch that wave, man.
It's smart.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, man. Black people showed out with that Wiz Live, and everybody's like,
random Thursday night, the highest rating show.
Yeah, how do we get into this? You know, how do we get some of this too? Can't blame you.
Nope.
Think it's kind of dope, really.
Make your money, people.
The San Bernardino shooters that shot up the workplace. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, oh yeah, they some ISIS Muslim jihad sympathizers that, you know, Obama didn't screen hard enough. Well, apparently the that was mostly based on the report that they had gone on the wife had gone on social media on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And supposedly made like a post pledging her allegiance to ISIS. The FBI just came out and said that actually did not happen. Now, I don't know who I was going to issue retractions or
nobody.
Okay. Yeah.
Nobody is out there. And it's one of those things, once it's out there, regardless if it's truth or fact or indifferent, people just going to roll with it regardless of what the truth is nowadays.
Yeah, they said they only hinted about their intentions in private, in direct communication. We found no evidence of a posting on social media by either of them. Though government officials did not speak about the shooter's social media accounts before today, it was widely reported, including in the New York Times and on NBC, mm-hmm. that they had publicly posted anti-American sentiments. New York Senator Chuck Schumer told the press that had they checked out Tashfeen Malik, maybe those people in San Bernardino would be alive. And GOP partisans took the opportunity to lay blame at the feet of Barack Obama, despite the press making early discoveries regarding the shooter's identities. A no pro-jihad social media post or comments were reported in the hours after the attack, and it's unclear how or why it was leaked to reporters this week that they were. That said, a skeptic might point out that the Obama administration does have an incentive for people to believe that nothing could have been gleaned from the killer's accounts. But Comey's statement came up backs up a CNN story from Monday that said the unnamed intelligence officials discovered that Malik's comments were made under a pseudonym with strict privacy settings that did not allow people outside a small group of friends to see them. The issue of the shooter's use of social media was a central topic in last night's national security focused GOP debate. The candidates argued at length based on now debunked reports about the extent to which they believe the Obama administration failed in properly monitoring Malik's social media accounts during her immigration process, and the degrees to which they would go to the police to police the web, with Donald Trump in particular affirming to moderator Wolf Blitzer that he would be in favor of shutting down parts of the internet. Yeah, I watched some of that GOP debate. Man, I miss Obama.
I wasn't here for none of that.
I miss candidate Obama, man. Remember those long scholarly answers that mm-hmm. thoroughly answered the question that was asked and didn't dodge the question or change the topic?
Right. It was well thought out, and folks complained because he actually took the time to answer the fucking question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually gave you a real answer, and that's the thing. It's so confusing because people go, I want the truth, and he's like, hear the truth. Nah, fuck you. I don't want the truth. What the fuck do you want?
Yeah, he used to give those long scholarly answers, and people would be like, he's too professorial. And I'm like, no, he's doing the job that you asked him to do, answer the question.
Right. And the thing is, people ask you a open-ended or a question that, you know, could command a minute or 2 minute answer, but you want it summed up in a 30-second bite, and it life don't function like that.
Yeah, they just want a sound bite to argue with. And some snide remarks going back and forth. And candidate Obama used to just be thorough, like, nah, this is the actual answer. All right. And you didn't get any of that from Republicans any of the time last night. Here's some sad news. Baltimore just had the Freddie Gray, the first officer of the six, who was, I guess, tried separately or something, mm-hmm. or I guess tried first. They just had a mistrial declared. After, like, I think 3 days of, like, a locked jury. Anyway, here's
it. In the Officer William Porter trial, the judges told the jury to get back to work after they came out and said that they were deadlocked. WUSA 9 Scott Broom in Baltimore joining us live now with the
very... Wait, this is old. This is old.
You don't have one from today?
I mean, it says it's from today. It says it's updated as of 5 minutes ago, but this video is old. Baltimore judge declared a hung jury Wednesday in the trial of a police officer charged in the case of Freddie Gray, a young black man whose April death prompted Black Lives Matter protests across the city and sometimes brutally violent riots. William H. Billy Murphy. They always say brutally violent, right? Who was hurt? So CBS? Anyway. The lawyer from the Gray family. Yes.
Huh? All CBS matters, and companies and businesses are people. Didn't the Supreme Court
corporations
say that?
Corporations are people. That's true.
Right.
William H. Billy Murphy, the lawyer for the Gray family, stressed the outcome was not a disappointment for either side in a racially charged case that brought the country's eyes on Baltimore. This is just a temporary bump in the road, the justice, Murphy said during a Wednesday afternoon press conference. It happens. It's part of how the system works. Most hung juries are retired, with 70% of them going on to eventually result in a conviction, Murphy said. He added that the family is appealing for calm in the wake of the announcement. Yeah, that's actually, I feel like this is, I know the date is new, but I swear this is old, because I literally just read that it was declared a mistrial in the, yeah, Baltimore, okay. It says mistrial in the first case, so I don't know why it's saying just a hung jury.
Okay, good. Google.
The text of this is wrong. Yes,
Google. Like,
yeah, give me a sec. I'll figure it out. I hate when this happens.
No problem.
But yeah, I don't know why it's the title and the update says it's one thing, but yeah. All right, here's NBC News. And what is a perceived legal blow for prosecutors? The jury was hung and the judge declared a mistrial in the trial of Baltimore police officer William Porter in connection with Freddie Gray's death after he sustained injuries while in custody. Porter was charged with manslaughter, second degree assault, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office in the April 19th death of Gray, 25, a week after his neck was broken during a ride in the back of a police van. Gray's death and the subsequent unrest in Baltimore brought to the fore long simmering tensions in the city and across the nation over socioeconomic disparity and the relationship between law enforcement and the minority communities they serve. Prosecutors considered Porter's case key to strengthening the case against Caesar Goodson Jr., who was driving the van. It was also seen as a signal of how the trials of the five other officers could go. The remaining trials are set for early next year. It is unclear how the mistrial will affect the prosecutor's approach to the other trials, if at all. Yeah, and this, you know, Goldie wrote a piece on just like the prosecutor, because, you know, what's her name? Why am I drawing a blank on everything right now? But she basically wrote a piece that said, like, it's kind of a blow for her because, you know, Goldie Taylor said basically the prosecutor who was everybody's, like, hero, you know, Marilyn Mosby, is now considered to be blowing this case. You know, apparently, you know, everything didn't go according to plans. There was, like, key evidence that wasn't presented.
Right. I'm pretty sure they fought her tooth and nail on a lot of shit that she probably couldn't even bring up.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, and the thing is, maybe this is just like every other police officer case, pretty much unwinnable. But, you know, even with her going after them with, all the intention of getting these people brought to justice, maybe that's not going to happen. You know, I feel weird because I'm not really mad right now, and I'm not really even hurt or disappointed, because it's almost like I just expected this to happen. And
right.
I'm not going to say I'm assuming, because I haven't really talked. It just happened and I haven't talked to anybody else about it. But I don't even see a whole lot of outrage and stuff through the timeline and stuff. I know there's some people protesting in Baltimore, and I saw a police officer jacked one dude up for standing there. But yeah, I don't even know what to say.
I guess because it wasn't a guilty or not guilty.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, she could continue to pursue this person, right, and they could do retry it. You know,
right. It don't mean it's dead.
Yeah, or you know, she can move on to the other people. I don't know, but I just didn't expect. I don't know. It's like I expect justice and integrity less and less these days. So
yeah, and it's sad, but you get to the point where you don't have high expectations at all, and it's just one of those things where it's sad, but for the fact that it went to trial is a quote unquote victory in my mind. Yeah. Because so many people's cases never make it to the light of day of a goddamn trial.
Yeah. So,
but that's a low bar.
Yeah.
And a very low standard.
Yep. So we'll see what happens after this, but can't even say I'm shocked, man. A Christian college punishes a professor for heresy. Apparently they don't like when you wear hijabs and say Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Wheaton College put Larissa Hawkins, guess the rings, black, on leave after she wore a hijab and said Muslims and Christians worship the same God. She teaches political science at private Wheaton College in Illinois. She was placed on administrative leave on Tuesday after she posted photos of herself in a purple headscarf on social media, writing, "Professor and student in solidarity with hijab." She elaborated, as Pope Francis stated last week, Christians and Muslims worship the same God. Wheaton College faculty and staff made a commitment to accept and model our institution's faith foundations with integrity, compassion, and theological clarity. She wrote in a statement announcing her suspension, "As they participate in various causes, it is essential that faculty and staff engage in, speak about public issues in a way that faithfully represents the college's evangelical statement of faith." The college's statement did not clarify whether the issue was solely the theological implications of Hawkins' claim that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, or with the seeming authority she granted to the Pope. A spokeswoman for Wheaton did not return a request for comment. In a Facebook post about her photographs, Hawkins linked her choice to wear the hijab to her own Christian worship this Advent. "As part of my Advent worship, I will wear the hijab to work at Wheaton College, to play in Chi-Town, in the airport, and on the airplane to my home state that initiated the first anti-Sharia laws, and at church," she wrote. She added that she asked friends at the Council of the American Islamic Relations whether non-Muslims wearing hijab is haram, forbidden, patronizing, or otherwise offensive to Muslims, and got their blessing. She, earlier, her students had written a statement of solidarity with Muslims, but avoiding invoking theological justifications for their stance. The Department of Education granted Wheaton College a religious exemption to non-discrimination laws in 1985. The waiver allows the school to mandate that faculty and staff adhere to the college's religious doctrines, though it's not clear that the school's statement of faith explicitly says anything about the relationship between God, the God worship by Muslims and Christians. On her Facebook page, Hawkins also linked to a HuffPost article by Yale Divinity School theologian Miroslav Volf about her thesis. In a statement concerning Christian engagement with Muslim neighbors posted Friday, Wheaton affirmed that it believes that salvation is through Christ alone. "While Islam and Christianity are both monotheistic, we believe there are fundamental differences between the two faiths, including what they teach about God's revelation to humanity, the nature of God, the path to salvation, and the life of prayer," the college elaborated. It added that while the college welcomes goodwill towards Muslims, overtures of Christian friendship must be enacted with theological clarity as well as compassion. So they had to send it home. What do you think, Karen?
Because my thing is, this is something, I question, has this something she been practicing for a very long time, or is this something that she just recently came out
with? She recently did it. She's doing it for, I guess, her, what did it say, her Advent, what did she call it? Her Advent worship. So I guess out of solidarity with Muslims, she's trying to show that, you know, as a Christian, I'm accepting of your practices, and we all worship, you know, the same God, which, you know, some people argue about.
True.
The source of much argument. And I guess they decided that means, no, you can't do that. Yeah, Advent means coming or arrival. And during the season of Advent, we celebrate Christ coming into the world. So I guess that was her form of worship, was to wear a hijab and, you know, in solidarity with Muslims. So then they said, get the fuck out.
And according to that law, they have the right to, regardless of if you agree or disagree or indifferent, they made sure that if you come in here talking about anything other than crisis, the way, the truth, or the light, we can get rid of you.
Yeah. It's weird to me because I can't really say nothing because I don't really share their faith either way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that should be offensive to Christian people or if the schools just feels like you're teaching the wrong thing. Like our guy is different than their guy, so don't act like they're the same guy.
That plays a role. And also the fact that it's a Christian-based school, which means you have a lot of donors, a lot of people, a lot of alumni that gives back. And, you know, they were like, we're not going to lose our money because you're talking, and not, I'm not going to say in their mind it's foolishness, but you're going against the almost like the foundation of what we're teaching here. Mm-hmm. So they were like, nope, you got to go because you're not worth the money we're about to lose once people get highly upset and flood us and write us letters and ring our phone up asking why you still teaching here.
That's some wild shit, man.
Right, so it's more of a financial thing than anything. You know, it's probably some people there that probably don't give a fuck and go, well, she's a great professor, and somebody else was like, well, we don't care, we're losing money, nope, you got to go.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's such a hard time for brown people and Muslim people,
right,
in America right now. And maybe her being a black woman, you know, maybe that's part of the reason she feels that there needs to be some solidarity. I feel like she's practicing right. Good intersectionality there.
Right.
But, I mean, it pretty much got her kicked off her job for doing such. It's, I don't know. I really feel like it's not my place to even say that it's fucked up because I think all of it's kind of silly. You know what I mean? I think it's silly to, like, our guy in the sky is so different from their guy in the sky that you can't even, like, put on the clothing that they wear. Like, fuck that. This, you can't even say that they're the same. Get out of here. You're like, this is, I don't know. It just seems fucked up. But at the same time, it's not my job to teach that shit. And it was hers. So maybe, you know, maybe it does impair her ability to do the job. If that's one of the core teachings of their school, I don't know. Anyway, Indian American woman was visited by the police after asking to buy AR-15 ammo at Dick's Sporting Goods. Yeah, that right to bear arms.
Not meant for your brown
not
ass.
Not for everybody.
It is not.
They have certain people in mind when they talk about the right to bear arms in this country.
And even if you do it right, they even have some states that say brown people get denied at a higher rate. Even if they follow the state's law to the T, they can still deny you.
Yep.
We get denied at a higher rate.
She was questioned by California police after she asked to buy some ammunition for her AR-15 rifle. Sim Sangha, a 24-year-old firearms instructor from Fremont, asked an employee at Dick's Sporting Goods about buying 8 boxes of ammunition for a military-style rifle.
She works her job, so her job is to teach people how to shoot.
Right. And they went, bing, on San Bernardino. 2 days, by the way, why didn't this happen to white people?
Come on now.
Dylan Roof shoots up a fucking church, and gun sales go through the roof. Nobody's getting flagged. People just like, yeah, we must need it. 2 days later, police visited her home for questioning after that store employee alerted them. I don't know if it's my skin color or that I'm Indian. I'm not a Muslim, but even if I were, there's no reason to call the police to my home instantly.
Right.
She is preparing to join the Los Angeles Police Department. She did not buy ammunition for a rifle, which is the same type of weapon used by a Muslim couple earlier this month to kill 14 co-workers and wound 17 others in San Bernardino. She only bought an exercise mask at the sporting goods store, and she believes she was racially profiled.
Right.
They single me out because of the way I look. I've had friends buy bulk ammo, and they've never had police show up at their door.
Right.
Police said the officers apologized to Sangha, but a spokeswoman for the department said they had a duty to investigate activity that residents consider suspicious.
The fucking resident at the fucking store 20 miles away from my goddamn house, y'all come all the way here.
The police spokeswoman said officers are on heightened alert following the mass shootings in Southern California, which investigators linked to Islamic terrorism. Conservatives have said the political correctness prevented a man working in the couple's neighborhood from reporting his suspicions about Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik because he did not want to racially profile them. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God. It must be so great to be white.
Come on now. Come on now.
Where's the racial profiling for white dudes shooting up shit?
Right.
Oh my God. It must be so great.
Somebody comes in and asks for a hunting rifle. Y'all don't show up to his house because he would fucking have a fit and sue you and tell you that he has the right to bear arms.
This is amazing country, man. This is amazing. Oh, you inquired about buying some bullets? Yeah, we need to look into your ass.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's dudes that own hundreds of guns and shit.
Thousands
we just go,
of guns, right.
Firearms enthusiasts, much like hunting. This country's so fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm, 100.
She's not even Muslim. It didn't even matter. It's like, you some kind of brown.
You brown. Brown. That's all they care about. Brown.
What's up with your accent?
Right. Your English not good.
She's like, but I speak perfect English. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Something about it.
I don't know. Mm-mm. You sound like the person when I make call the 1-800 number they send me to India. We got questions for you, ma'am.
Hannah Hawks, a Louisiana photographer, posted a family Christmas photo on her Facebook page, which depicted a family of five celebrating peace on earth, with the mom and two daughters with green duct tape over their mouths and their hands tied up with Christmas lights. The internet was not amused. The holiday photo, which was meant to be a joke, went viral and was quickly removed by Facebook after many expressed concerns that the image not only was not funny, but actually perpetuates a culture of violence and subjugation of women. After receiving a flood of mostly negative comments on her Facebook page, she defended the photo. After being silent, now isn't that ironic? I would like to speak. I have been called every name in the book and have received some very hateful and vulgar comments and messages. I would like to say that as a female, I do not and have never promoted violence to women. I do not support abuse or the degradation of women. My controversial photo was taken by request by the family and was in no way meant to promote abuse. This photo was taken with humor in mind and was meant as a comical Christmas photo. I personally know this family. I have known them for many years. They are not abusive to their children in any shape or form. Also, I would like to add that no one was harmed during the process, so everyone have a very Merry Christmas, and may God bless you and yours. What do you think about the picture and stuff, Karen? All right. So, it's nothing.
I mean, it's a picture. That's about all I can say.
Yeah, that's all. We know it's a picture. All right, so it's on me then.
I don't know how to feel. It's some white folks doing white folks shit. It's like, I don't really have a comment on it. I mean, not trying to be funny. It's like, is when you look at it, you go, well, it's weird, it's strange, why would you do this? But I mean, the little boy is there with his thumbs up.
Yeah, because the men in the picture are saying that it's peace on earth, because the women in the picture
are quiet.
They're tied up and their mouths are have tape over.
Right, and I could see people looking at that as being sexist.
It is sexist.
Yes.
It's a sexist joke.
Yes. And
it's also a fucking joke.
Right.
Like real talk, man, I know it's the internet and everyone has to do their thing, you know what I mean? But it's like, this is also that thing where when a woman makes a joke that does play on the ideas and stereotypes of women,
mm-hmm.
people are pulled to like, oh no, can't do that. But it's like, if I'm part of the joke, then I'm making the joke too, right?
Right.
Like, this is a family. They wanted to make this joke together.
As a unit, everybody agreed. Like she said, nobody was harmed. This is something that they probably sat down and got at the table. I mean, their kids were probably excited about doing it. You know, hey, what y'all want to do? You know, da 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 da. And this is what they came up with as a unit.
And maybe next year they'll do something different. Maybe do something where the men get fucked up. I don't know. But I'm just saying, in general, it's just a picture that they meant for their, like, holiday cards. They thought they were being cute. It's only on the internet when you don't know the people, you take the context out of it.
Right.
The fact that it's going to be sent to friends and family and y'all supposed to, like, laugh. That it becomes that way. It's like if we had a Christmas card, and in the Christmas card you were punching me or something, and then someone was like, you know, this just promotes domestic violence against men, and that's just wrong for people to practice domestic violence, and we could be, and it's like, well, you're right, that it does make a joke of that topic. Also, it's a joke.
Right, and that's the thing about the internet when it comes to jokes and shit. It's like certain jokes we deem funny, certain jokes we don't deem funny. You have some people that oversensitive about every fucking thing, no matter what it is. It got to be an angle. You got to have a think piece. You got to have a hot take on everything that's presented to them. And it's just one of the things where if it would have been reversed with the women, you know...
Right, well, it's just everybody's agenda is coming into it. It's right. Like, because the thing is, the family didn't share it.
No.
The photographer shared it as an example of, like, look at my work that I do. Here's a cute one, here's a funny one. With the idea being everyone in this photo loves each other and really supports each other. And right. It's not like this.
There's no abuse going on.
And they, like, this isn't like, I walked into their house and I just happened to get a random photo of them, and guess what? They tie their women up and they put tape over their mouths all the time, and I just happened to get that random photo. They were trying to be funny. You right. know what I mean? And so people took it and extrapolated all this extra shit out on it, which, to be fair, is going to happen on the internet.
Yeah, because you're dealing with the internet.
Yeah, if it was kept private, sent to their friends and family, nobody would think that. You know, or maybe they would say something in private or joke back with them or something, but it's kind of this idea like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we know you love your family.
Right, right. And also it's just one of those things where people put their own personal perspectives out there on how, well, I wouldn't do that. It's the thing, you're not taking a picture, you didn't make the decision.
Right.
And somebody was saying about Sue, I guarantee you, when most people take photographers by professional photographers, a lot of times you sign the right the way to say that they can use your picture for promotional purposes. So this might have been one of her promotional purposes.
Right. It tells you a lot about the internet.
Right.
And people's ability to jump leaps and bounds into the extremes, because we don't have conversations with nuance anymore. We don't have, like, you know, our show, we try to have nuanced conversations, we try to have conversations that talk about, you know, the gray areas and stuff, but right. The vast majority of people, once they start talking, they leap out here to such extremes
right.
that by the end, it's like the father's a serial killer. He's raping and killing his children. Or PC culture has run amok. Right. And this family can't even enjoy Christmas.
Right. Like
when it's kind of in the middle. Like, it's right. kind of like, yes, it's an offensive joke that they were making for their friends or whoever they sit on that Christmas card list.
Right.
That maybe, you might not think it's funny. You know, everything in it, you know, people don't think a lot of shit's funny. People can make arguments this show isn't funny, right? Some of the shit we joke about. But,
right.
It's like people let us joke about certain things and they talk about it and they tweet about it and they think it's funny. They listen to this podcast and we make jokes about shit. But they feel like they know us. And there's context in the joke where it's like, oh, they don't feel like that, or they think right. it's ironic to say
right.
that.
Right.
But whenever it's take the context out, like if you just took a clip of our show sans context and just put like 30 seconds out there, people would be like, oh, they laughed about a child being burned yesterday.
Right.
That's it.
The end.
Yeah.
They would run and they would, that would kind of be the end. And that's the thing. People just taking a snapshot basically and running off with making their own assumptions, putting their own agenda behind this family, right. putting their own biases behind this family, putting their own personal issues about women's and women's rights. All right. that is kind of coming up in this photo. When the family took this picture, this was not the purpose of it. And when the photographer snapped the shot, that was not the intentions either. It wasn't to make a point.
I think it's a hack joke that people make all the time.
Right.
That, you know, these people aren't comedians. They would probably send this out for a Christmas card. They just made a hack joke, and now the internet gets to judge because this person sent it out to everybody. You know what I mean? If anything, I'd be mad at the photographer, like, yo, don't send that out to everybody. We didn't take this picture for everybody.
That's true too.
You know what I mean? We took this picture for our friends and we thought that know us and would laugh at the joke. Bob and his sense of humor or whatever the fuck, or you know, oh, he's always talking about his wife won't shut up or some shit like that. But yeah, the fact that, you know, it's now for the internet to judge, like, yeah, of course, think pieces mm-hmm. or whatever. And at the end of the day, they still went, found this lady, called her all kinds of names, accused her of abusing her children.
Right.
You know, brought up this bigger, like, and this is the problem with the culture of America and all this shit. And it's like, wow,
that was
like
not the intention of my picture, dog.
Like now I'm a think piece. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm a think piece,
right,
man.
And people tell jokes on stage all the time about bitches be talking.
I mean, people don't necessarily like those jokes either.
I'm not saying they don't, but people do make these jokes.
But the kind of people that have a problem with this picture don't like those jokes either.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's just funny. It's funny to me that it became a thing when really to me it's like, you know, if we went down my dad's house and he made some kind of joke about kicking my mom out the house or some shit,
mm-hmm.
I know them. The context is that shit would never fucking happen, so mm-hmm. I'm laughing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't, you know, but if I took that same audio clip of my dad saying that, put it out on YouTube, it would just be, this man threatened to kick his wife out on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? And then everybody goes in. But I just thought it felt like much ado about nothing.
Right. That's why I said just white people doing white people things.
Yeah. So this is kind of crazy. But the thing is, I feel like that's also kind of, it felt like one of those white feminism battles.
Right,
because I ain't really seen nobody talking about this. I just saw it on. Mm-hmm. Right, I just saw it on, like,
I mean, I hate to be uncaring, but it's like it's not trying to be funny. It's just a photo of some white people and
black people been worried about, like, Serena and shit this week,
right?
And white people been like, look at this Christmas card.
Right, I was like,
this son of a bitch.
And it's one of those things when, like you said, when you have like other problems, the other things you're focusing on, you go, nah, and you go on to something more important because you're like, this shit don't matter, versus you have people, this is the only thing they got going on in their life on their Facebook page, honey. They was like, give it all the time, and I'm like, it's all.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And in the chat, concerned citizen, hey, man, you need to calm that shit down. Don't be telling Lauren to go fuck herself, dog. I mean, she didn't say nothing mean to you. Why would you try to take it there? All right? This has been your only warning. Sorry, America. Chipotle CEO offers fat newspaper ad apology. That's right. He says, I'm deeply sorry
for making you sick. the fuck out of here. Across all 50 states.
Yes, after a rash of E. coli, salmonella, and norovirus incidents. Right.
All the sickness. Like, not one. People get sick from different shit. So it's not like when it was E. coli, they was like, we sorry, y'all. They was like, oh shit, that's not E. coli. Okay. This is not as bad. You can take some, you know, some little bit of medicine, some Robitussin, and you'll be all right. And then they caught something else. So no, they are on the do not eat list. I'm sorry. I'm not eating there.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me about it is he had to go on the Today Show. And like, I asked people on Twitter, this is just my Twitter followers. It's not an actual scientific poll, but I just asked people, when's the last time you ate at Chipotle? So many people were like, months ago. Months, like, now I didn't count anybody for the extremes. Like, I didn't count the people that were like, haven't eaten meat in 7 years. I'm like, why the fuck are you, don't, just shut up. Cause you know that's not what I'm talking about.
Right, you don't count.
But for people that were like, you know, I haven't eaten there in the last 6 months, I haven't eaten there in the last 3 months, last 2 months, so many people.
Right, so they're losing a lot of money, and that's what it boils down to. I'm not trying to be funny. Chipotle overcharges for their food. They charge you extra $2 to $3, then they charge you for guac another $1.50 or $2 for it, and then a lot of times you have just as many calories or more calories, you know, because a lot of people eat that because it's quote-unquote healthy, GMO free, and all this other grass-fed, all that shit. So they're charging you for that, and it's one of those things where you have people that eat there, which we do, that don't mind eating there because the quality is good. I'm not shaming the quality,
right?
But it's just one of those things where if I'm gonna pay extra for a cow that's not in chains, I don't want you making me sick.
A cow in chains.
Cause, you know, what do you call it? Range free animals? Animals free range, that, yeah, go out range. There and eat the grass and shit.
Yeah.
If I'm paying you extra, I don't want to get sick.
Yeah, they issued a big, long apology. I'm not even reading all of it, but I mean, it's just crazy because people aren't eating there. They must, like, it's going to be interesting to see what their third, fourth quarter reports are.
Sales tank.
For sales, because it's going to be low as fuck, man. Right. I mean, it, like I said, impromptu, non-scientific poll, but so many people were just like, A couple people even like, I ate there 2 months ago, right before the Maryland outbreak, and then I stopped.
And the thing about it is that once these outbreaks started happening, when you start closing your restaurants down, you have to think, you lost money from closing all these restaurants down, probably to sanitize them and to clean them, which means the restaurant is closed. You still owe rent, power, whatever else is attached to it, because normally they're the spots you're renting. Mm-hmm. So you send all your employees home. You losing money from your employees not being there. You're losing money for customers not being able to come into your restaurant. But you're spending money because you have to pay somebody to come and basically sanitize your whole restaurant down. Or either you might be paying the employees to come and sanitize your restaurant down versus paying them to actually serve your customers.
Right.
Which means you're losing money out of all these restaurants. And then these outbreaks continue to happen. And as the outbreaks continue to happen, you can't do like you did with the E. coli. Put a little sign up there talking about, oh, we're sorry, the store's closed. As more people got sick and as the lawsuits and shit started happening, which I think they will continue to happen, you have more people paying it attention. And people's like, oh, you get sick there. You cover the story about the students, 80 students, whatever, got sick. And people are like, look, I just want to enjoy my food. I don't want to get sick. And like they say, it takes years to build loyalty and seconds to lose customers. And I guarantee you, some of the people that left will never go back, no matter how clean you say you are, no matter how free range animals are. Folks are like, fuck you. You were making folks sick.
Here's the thing though. I have never wanted Chipotle so bad in my life.
Nope.
I want it now. Mm. I want it, Chipotle, please.
Nope.
I just want to get like the last one before it gets sick here in Charlotte. I just want to go get some before everybody dies. Like some people got to get the ones in Maryland. I was so envious of the people that's like, I ate at Chipotle in Maryland and then I stopped because everybody got sick. I want to eat Chipotle right up until the last second. I want to take the last bite of clean, fresh E. coli free meat and just swallow it down in my throat. Oh, so good. That hot barbacoa. I even eat the sofritos, baby. I don't care. I don't care. I just want it so bad. I'm gonna sneak off and get it by myself. I don't care if you can't get it.
But I don't want none.
You don't got to have none, Karen. Mm-mm. Didn't nobody ask you to come. This ain't about you. Everything ain't got to be about you.
But you know who else gonna be there if you get E. coli in the hospital? Me.
That's fine. But I had the last Chipotle. I just want the last clean burrito. I don't want the sick one.
But you don't know.
People ain't getting sick though, Karen. It'll be on the news. Mm-mm. It's still good here.
Nope.
I'm going tomorrow. I don't care.
You go right home on here. I don't want none of it.
I'm going to just put a Google alert up for Charlotte Chipotle and then E. coli norovirus.
Yeah, you and the employees are going to be the only folks in there.
Yes. I love it. It's so good. Oh, the best thing about Chipotle is how they lie to you. Oh, I love the lies. I know McDonald's bought all that shit. I don't care. I don't care. Just give it to me. Make me believe it's good. That's what I want.
Mm-mm.
It's like a.
I know I like to be lied to too, but you can't lie to me when I know folks being sick.
I don't care. Long as
I do. My belly cares.
Long as I don't see it, I'm good. If I walk into the lobby and I don't see no puke on the ground, give me a burrito, please. Quesarito me, please. Give me that barbacoa. That carnitas. And I can't be the only one. I know it's other
people. You're not.
I know it's other people.
There's other folks in the chat room agreeing with you. Mm-mm.
Never wanted Chipotle so bad in my life. Oh, this feels like when Taco Bell starts serving breakfast. And I've never had the breakfast. Right. And first I was like, disgusting. And then I saw that commercial like two more times. I was like, I got to have it.
Nah, I do like the Dorito tacos, the Cool Ranch. Nah, I do like those.
It worked on me.
I installed them, yes, but I do like those.
It worked on me. Until I see it myself, it's good to me.
Yeah, today pumping IVs through my veins.
You say what? You talk a good game, Karen, but you went back to cowfish.
Yes, you did too.
I know. But right. I never lied and said I wouldn't.
I never lied and said I wouldn't either.
Whatever.
When did I say we weren't going back to cowfish?
When they had that neurovirus scare, I know you was like, I ain't going up in there.
for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never said I wasn't going back again.
Well, the Charlotte Chipotle ain't never had a problem.
And I never said I wasn't going back to Chipotle again.
Well, you say you won't go now and it's not a problem. Mm-mm. So when is it going to be okay?
Nope.
That's not an answer. That's a no. That's not a win. I asked it for us, when is it going to be okay to go to Chipotle again?
I don't know when they quit having these fucking outbreaks of people getting sick.
You know when it's going to be okay? When you see me eating that luscious hot burrito in your face.
You can have it.
And all you got to do is make a sandwich from the fridge because you ain't got no Chipotle.
You can have it.
I'll go Chipotle and you can't have none.
Mm-hmm. Mess around and drop it on the ground like that kid too.
Nope. They already dropped it on the ground. That's how you get that E. coli. A Maryland man told the FBI they should be thanking him after they discovered he received a series of electronic payments from ISIS this summer. For some reason, the FBI disagreed.
You wonder why. ISIS don't send you money just because.
Muhammad El Shanawi talked to the New York Times. He said after he was confronted by the FBI this summer, he acknowledged getting thousands of dollars from ISIS sources in Egypt, but said that he was trying to scam some money from ISIS, not wage an attack. Much of the money was spent on communication tools, including cell phones, calling cards, and a laptop. He even told the FBI that it should praise him for his work and give him a job in terrorist financing. I like that. That is a good lie.
Very good lie. Now
that's what I'm gonna do if I ever get caught now, with you know some bullshit, is be like, oh, you thought the money was, no man, I'm just scheming ISIS, dog.
You know what, the lie not good enough. Now I don't believe you, but if they was like, he took the money and paid his debt, paid his student loans off, bought his mama a house, everybody his family debt free, I'd have believed you.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I don't believe this.
Yeah, I don't buy it because he's spending it on cell phones and calling
right
cards.
No. If you was like, oh, my student loans, yeah, y'all ain't getting this money back. Somebody else got that money. They real happy with it.
Yeah, if he would have been buying this, been like blowing up the strip club and shit, I was like, yo, I believe this dude.
I'd have believed that. I would have believed that.
Yeah, so, anyway, that was a good lie.
Yeah.
Man, that's one way to, nah, baby, I just fuck ISIS. I make love to you. let's see what else has happened. Corporate executives are running Red Cross into the ground. Yep. Sean King runs Red Cross. I'm just joking, guys. I'm just joking. I don't know where the money is for Sean King. I'm just joking, guys. But it was funny. The American Red Cross lately is very bad at being a charity. A deep investigation published by ProPublica today reveals a bit about why that may be.
Yeah, I think a fucking lot of people gonna stop giving.
Yeah, well, see, I know they took a hit back when that black woman was running it, and they ran her up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And people was like, "That sizzle."
Right.
When but now they got a white woman doing it and it's happening again. Well, I'll be damned.
Right. That means people are mismanaging money and money's not going where it's supposed to go and not being allocated. And this one of the biggest, like, as far as when tragedies happen, most people automatically think the Red Cross. Like, you just assume that they're going to do what they're supposed to do with that money, but apparently not.
Previously, ProPublica and NPR reported at length the organization's sluggish response to Hurricane Sandy, which involved taking relief trucks from actual crisis areas so that they could be used as a backdrop for a press conference. Wow.
Oh.
Throwing out meals because they couldn't find people who needed to eat them. Leaving wheelchair-bound storm victims to sleep in their chairs for days because the appropriate cots weren't available. Today's piece looks at specifically at CEO Gail McGovern, a former AT&T executive who has handled the charity since 2008. The rub on McGovern, according to ProPublica's reporting, is this. She eliminated jobs, alienated volunteers, and cherry-picked her own incompetent former AT&T colleagues for top positions.
Wow.
Yo, man. The 501c game is so fucking treacherous.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you bring in people from fucking the private sector.
Right.
To run these shits like businesses.
Right, where there's no, the regulations ain't the same.
Because I know a 501c ain't that fucking different from a business in the first place, but just the fact that you were running like, how do we make a profit in a business where you ain't supposed to be making a profit?
Right, the business where the main goal is charity, the main goal is people. And that's the thing, if your product is people, or what you're trying to accomplish helps people, you can't be on that we trying to save every dime.
Yeah, it can't be greed is good though. Like,
right, not,
like, it can't be how do we get paid first and foremost in our 501c. You just can't. Perhaps all of this would be excusable if it were in the service of making more money so that more funds might be put toward helping victims, but it wasn't, because she hired all her homies too.
Right.
But under her leadership, the charity's revenue is lower now than it was in 2011, and it's been running at a deficit since 2013.
Shit.
The report also includes a few scenes of disaster victims who literally were left out in the cold by the Red Cross, as they were with Hurricane Sandy. In Northern California last year, the Red Cross shuttered the Napa County chapter and laid off disaster relief staff, according to an internal PowerPoint presentation. Then in September, a drought-fueled fire swept through the area, consuming more than 75,000 acres and 1,200 homes. Because of these, the issue with the Red Cross shelter, nearly all 1,000 displaced people at the Napa County Fairgrounds, including the elderly, new mothers and children, and anyone with a pet, ended up sleeping outside in tents, cars, or RVs. The problems were first reported by the Press Democrat newspaper.
Wow.
Yep. So you might not want to give your money to the Red Cross.
Right.
For a while. Which is crazy, because like
got
I said,
to go.
They got that sister up out of there.
She got to go too.
I know. I'm just saying, they got that sister up out of there so fast.
Right. They was like, we can't have you fucking up, nigga.
Yeah. Like, people was like, this some sizzle.
And it still was sizzle.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where people are just going to begin to question everything about your organization. And it's heartbreaking for the people that are really there for the cause, or the people that, like, you laid off a fire in these areas. When shit happened, they can't even do their jobs.
Yep. So 501c game ain't no joke.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And like, when shit like this happened, people go, well, what do I do with my money if I want to just, if I don't want to be on the front line, I'd rather give it to somebody that I know is going to do a greater cause. And it's a lot of local organizations and smaller organizations that will be more than happy to use your money, and you can see it directly happen.
But sometimes certain shit happens and you need big organizations like the Red Cross.
That's true too.
And it's just,
yeah, and that's what's fucked up.
That's why they have to get their ship right.
That's what's fucked up. Yeah, because it's like, for certain shit, only the Red Cross can ship like 1,000 people or 800 trucks and all this shit.
They had the resources to do it, so it needs to be managed better in a trustworthy way.
Right.
But it's sad when you have to treat charity dollars like you treat your, like, money you spend on cable company dollars. Like, and it's sad, but that's really what it's going to take.
Right, because you go, it's too many charities out here for me to give it to somebody that's not doing what they're supposed to do. And if any other charity that's doing the right thing is smart, you better step up in Red Cross spot.
Yeah, pretty sure we're gonna have charity advertisements.
I guarantee, for real, I guarantee you. I mean, Red Cross does it, but believe you me, if it's another organization out there that might not be as big, yeah, but like, we can do just as much or even better, and we're not doing this bullshit that they're doing. I don't know what the name of the organization is, but if Red Cross fuck up, somebody gonna take their spot, because like you say, it's needed, because it's too many, not only big things, it's small shit that happened that the Red Cross step in. Like, if somebody's home burned down, a lot of times your normal local Red Cross chapters would step in. So it's like, it's one of these things where they're needed. So, you know,
it's just sad to me, because that means like somewhere it's a company like that's a 501c that's somewhere like, all right, it's time for the Burgundy Cross to step up, baby.
Right.
We finally
it's
got
our
time
to shine.
Burgundy tea. Nah, we not the Red Cross. We the Burgundy tea. Now, something like it. You know, we do a lot of the same things, but we just don't cheat on your money. Right. Come holler at Burgundy tea. It's around like Time Warner Cable or Cable Town. Like, just.
Yes. They're going to be offering you packages and everything. Our packages ain't the same.
Like,
they real similar.
It's something like Vision Cable versus Cable Vision, baby. I'm just saying, right. We're gonna get the blood. You know, they take blood, we take plasma. You know what I'm saying? It's real similar.
We,
you know what I'm saying? Just come
on
down.
Red, yeah.
Come on down to the Burgundy tea. You know what I'm saying? It look a lot like the Red Cross, but you look at the colors a little different.
Yeah.
And our cross is not really a cross. It's more like a T. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you know, it's instead of in the middle, we kind of, you know, raise.
Yeah, it's like a lowercase T. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just, you know. So,
and that, no, ignore that Red Cross sign. We in the process of painting over that right there.
Yeah. This used to be a Red Cross. They raided off a bunch of people and we picked them up. But look, man, trust me, the money get to the sick kids. Okay. Is what I'm saying.
It sure does. In fact, I got a sick kid right here.
Speaking of sick, male sailors aboard the USS Wyoming secretly recorded their female shipmates showering several times a day for almost a year, sometimes working in teams to prevent detection, says a new Navy Times report out this week. At least 12 male officers were implicated in the ring, which operated about 10 months before an electronics technician on another ship heard about the recordings and reported them. Of those 12 men, 10 were ultimately prosecuted and assigned punishments ranging from hard prison time to a pay cut. The men were apparently...
To a pay cut.
Well, I guess it depends on your role, right?
Okay.
I mean, assuming everybody was...
You might not have held the camera.
Maybe you just bought some. You know what I mean? Hey, let me buy two of them videos.
Okay,
well, then your ass got to give up 30% of your pay. I don't know how it works.
Right.
The men were apparently able to film the women through a hole in the wall using cell phones and an iPod Touch, both of which are reportedly banned aboard the submarine. And it was a wonder that they had
illegal contraband.
That's right, Karen. And it was a wonder they had any time left over to do their jobs. One sailor admitted that he and a male peer rushed to secretly record each female midshipman while she was in the shower changing room. They filmed each woman each time she took a shower during the 3-month patrol, he said, several times a day, according to a new report. The men were casual about the videos. One missile technician, Jonathan Ashby, reportedly told investigators he learned about them from a colleague, MT2 Charles Greaves, who informed me that he had captured some Pokemon. This year, Greaves was dishonorably discharged from the Navy and sentenced to 2 years of prison. Capturing Pokemon, that's what they call it? But even though the case is over, it's still somewhat unclear who was involved and who knew what. Greaves' attorney reportedly accused the Navy of ignoring information about several other sailors who knew about the videos, including two chiefs. And at least one sailor avoided prosecution because of the only evidence against him was the statement of another sailor.
Yeah, I guarantee you, with shit like that, oh yeah, it's a lot of people on that ship that knew. This shit been happening for, and this is the ones they caught, so I couldn't imagine the women that got taped that didn't even know they were fucking taped over, you know, from other ships. Because this is not the, if you're this strategic, this is not the first time.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't investigate and find all the tapes of all the women that y'all been recording over your time that you've been doing this bullshit.
And somehow it's all the way up to, you know, the top probably. I mean,
right. So no,
you got officers involved.
So no sergeant, no major, no lieutenant. Like, so nobody up the chain heard about it and just fucking ignored it because it was women. And then people wonder why people are pushing for a separate.
Well, not even ignored it. Participated in it,
right, and they never, you know, were charged or never questioned about it.
It said they had two chiefs. I mean, yeah, lots of dudes jacking off to that shit, man. That shit goes up the chain,
right? And then you wonder why, when it comes to sexual harassment, they wanted a separate outside entity that's not even connected with the Army to hear the cases and people can come to, and y'all fought fucking tooth and nail because the people that's doing the abusing are some of the people that you have to report this shit to.
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of these sailors need to join the Facebook group for the Blackout Tips, because then you don't have to worry about all this.
Mm-mm.
Okay, women up in there twerking for free, man, they don't mind. But nah, you got to go get the unwilling twerking, and now your ass going to jail. Yes, see, that's what's wrong with your dumb ass. What you need to do is start a cool ass sex positive podcast and invite people to be in there stripping and shit, because you don't know what these people are going to get. These people are crazy. You don't know what they're going to get into. I mean, now you may see some dick prints you don't want to see.
Yeah.
That may happen too. But I'm just saying, it's something for everybody.
It ain't all for the fellas.
Yeah. It's something for everybody is what I'm trying to tell you. Y'all dumbasses over here trying to get them illegally. Now you in jail, looking stupid. A fisherman who miraculously survived 438 days lost at sea, keeping our Navy theme going, has been sued for $1 million.
Oh.
For allegedly eating his fellow castaway to ensure his own survival. The life of Pi. The family of the deceased castaway contends, according to the Telegraph and other media outlets, after drifting 6,700 miles, Salvador Alvarenga, guess the race, 36, of El Salvador, washed ashore in January 2014 on the Marshall Islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean after setting off on a two-day fishing trip from Mexico in November 2012.
Hot damn.
It was the longest any castaway has survived at sea.
Right, that's 2 years.
A three-hour tour.
A very long three-hour tour.
Alvarenga had paid 22-year-old Ezequiel Cordoba $50 to accompany him. Best $50 he ever spent. You know what I'm saying?
Best $50 pound per pound.
When a storm hit, Alvarenga radioed the owner of the 25-foot boat demanding to be rescued. That message was the last words communicated to the shore as 10-foot waves and the vicious storm knocked out the communication systems, washed their supplies overboard. Alvarenga and Cordoba survived several months by catching fish and birds and drinking turtle blood and rainwater.
Oh.
What? You don't remember JSS?
Yes.
That girl, she survived.
Yeah.
Eating that Ninja Turtle.
Mm-hmm. I guess you get hungry enough.
Drink that turtle blood. But one bird they ate made Cordoba very ill. A poisonous snake was discovered in the bird's stomach. According to Alvarenga's account, Cordoba refused to eat some of the raw meats that kept Alvarenga alive, perhaps because of the experience with the bird, and he eventually died. Before starving to death, Cordoba made Alvarenga promise to not eat his corpse and to find his mother and tell her what happened. 2 months later, Alvarenga visited Cordoba's mother. Mr. Alvarenga befriended the corpse, keeping it on the boat for 6 days and chatting to it until he realized his own insanity and threw it overboard. I could see my death was going to be very, very slow, he said, but against all odds, he survived. Mr. Alvarenga washed up in the Marshall Islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in January 2014, days and emaciated. He was found by a couple living on the island who took him in. 2 months later, Alvarenga visited the Cordoba's mother, Rosalia Rios, and delivered her son's message. Alvarenga has always denied eating his crewmate. The family's lawsuit comes on the heel of the October release of Alvarenga's book, 438 Days, an extraordinary true story of the survival of sea. Ricardo Cocalan, Alvarenga's attorney, told the Telegraph he believes the lawsuit is in part of the family's attempt at pressuring Alvarenga to divide the royalties. Cocalan told the Telegraph that the book has done poorly in the U.S. with only 1,500 copies sold. See, man, that's where you fucked up, bro. You need to write something about being in the boat with a tiger. You know what I'm saying?
Call that shit
Life of Pi 2, bro. You would have caked up. Got a movie and everything. But nah, you had to keep it real. I didn't eat my homie. You should have said you ate that motherfucker. You would have sold way more books.
Yes, you would have.
Many believe the book is making my client a rich man, but what he will earn is much less than what people think, said his lawyer. You think he ate him, Karen?
No.
No. How long would it take before you ate a person if you was lost at sea, Karen? Mm-hmm. I think, for me, I'm going to say 24 hours.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe less.
I don't want to be stuck at sea.
Depending on when I get hungry, you know? Mm-mm. I'm like, oh, you sick? No, man, I'm just asleep. Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. But let me know if you feel a little woozy.
Okay, we won't be at sea together then.
Drink some more of this turtle blood. Mm-mm. Get some more of this turtle blood in you. Get you fattened up.
I'm good.
Looking like a chicken leg over there, you know?
Dude, throw flour at him.
That's what I'm trying to see. So I want to see. Like, it's something smell good burning in the sun. What is that you?
Oh. I smell the sizzle.
Rub some of this coconut oil on you. It's good for everything.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game where we read articles from all around the globe and we assign points from 0 to 100 and intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's get into it. Two new natural hairstyles have been approved in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps has finally gotten around to revising those controversial hair regulations that ban women serving the country from wearing natural hairstyles like braids, locks, afros, and matted and unkempt hair. In a Marine Corps administrative message released Monday, two new hairstyles were approved for black female Marines. Two strand twist and thin locks. According to the memo, the decision was made by the Marine Corps Uniform Board in October based on a request from Sergeant Marine Staff Sergeant Sherry Wright Expeditionary Force. She said in a statement, for some, this change is culturally liberating and has financial benefits and is simply convenient. As pointed out by military.com, the new approved hairstyles come with extensive restrictions to ensure they appear neat and uniform. Twist or two sections of hair twisted together to form a rope or cord may only be worn with a medium length and long hair. The appearance of the twist must be neat and professional and cannot interfere with wear of any military headgear or be excessively bulky. Locks or single sections of hair that twist from the root to the ends of the hair to form a ringlet or cord can be worn with short, medium, or long hair. They must be separated with square or rectangle shaped parts to keep professional appearance. All locks and twists must be no wider than 3/8 of an inch in diameter. Conspicuous hair accessories and faddish and eccentric hairstyles are still off limits. You know what, man? How do you feel? 0 to 100, Karen.
That's zero, because that the whole thing was that banning it in the first place was completely targeted towards black women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, then how are you supposed to follow the rules and regulations when everything that black women do other than fucking putting on a wig, mm-hmm. you're restricting?
I'll give it a zero too. I mean, you know, that's good news, man.
It was a stupid rule in the goddamn first place.
Yeah, it was just a racist rule,
right?
You know, like you didn't even think about black women's hair, or you just, when you thought about it, you just thought of all the negatives, like, oh, it's just gonna be ugly and fucked up, and like, or it could be twisted and neat, like a lot of women's hair is,
right?
Like, I mean, I get it's the military and there's gonna be restrictions on your appearance. I mean,
right.
I'm not
they
stupid.
Understand that too.
Yeah, but when you just basically default to you gotta cut all your hair off because you black, man, fuck you. You know, you gotta go get a perm, like get out of here, man, come on.
Right, because it affects a lot of women who want to go natural,
right? Let's see. Arson suspect arrested following a fire at North Dakota Somali restaurant. Minnesota man has been arrested and charged with arson following a recent fire at a Somali restaurant in Grand Forks, North Dakota. The December 7 blaze caused $90,000 worth of damage.
Ooh.
To Juba Coffee and Restaurant, which has been vandalized 3 days earlier. In the prior incident, vandals reportedly sprayed Nazi-like symbols and the words "Go Home" on the outside of the building. Despite the lack of subtlety in the vandalism, Lieutenant Derek Zimmel told the AP there are a lot of different ways the graffiti can be interpreted. Nazi symbols and "Go Home" on an African restaurant. A lot of ways that can be, okay. Maybe they just meant go back to Park Road where you stay. Right? Maybe that's what they meant. Maybe go back to Michigan where you originally are. I don't know. Maybe they meant it there. Maybe they just watched E.T. and they confused phone home with go home.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. How could we ever know, guys? How will we ever? I mean, if only there were people whose job it was to investigate these things and to look mm-hmm. into the motives and arrest people and find out. If only we had those people.
Right.
I don't know what you call. What you call?
I don't know.
Pole lice. I don't know. I don't know.
Investigators.
Detectives. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm at loss for words.
I wish I knew. You know, it's crazy to me too. So they said the motivation for the arson couldn't be determined until police spoke to the accused. 25-year-old Matthew Gust is not yet clear if there's any connection between the vandalism and fire. Gus threw a 40-ounce beer bottle filled with gasoline through the window of the restaurant. According to the Grand Folks Herald, he faces 10 years in prison. No one was hurt in the fire. After the attack, Unity North Dakota, a nonprofit that believes that direct action and strong opposition are needed to combat those who seek to spread injustice, hatred, and divisiveness, held a rally to show solidarity with the Juba Coffee House. Grand Forks is on the North Dakota border with Minnesota, which is home to a significant Somali immigrant population. News of Gus' arrest came 5 days after a 26-year-old man assaulted employees and went on an anti-Muslim tirade at a New York City restaurant.
Shit.
Yep. If only we knew his motivation. So, Karen, 0 to 100, how do you feel?
Oh, that's 100.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm going to say I need to know his motivation, so I'm only going to give it 75. Mm-mm, you know, because if it was 100, you know, I just wish there was a way to know.
100. I'm making up my own story and running with it. Fuck it, 100.
100?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Star Wars is out. So that means Fox needs to go all hotel.
I think
of
you as a social.
So it's time for Fox business to go hotep on Star Wars. Fox
commentator, business? And I want your social commentary on this. Two items. A seventh grader banned from school for wearing his Star Wars T-shirt. It shows a stormtrooper holding a gun. That's issue number one. Number two, MSNBC's Melissa Harris-Perry says Star Wars is a racist movie. Just roll this tape and watch this, Janine.
He was totally a black guy whose name basically was James Earl Jones. He was black, he was terrible and bad and awful and used to cut off white men's hands and didn't, you know, actually claim his son. But as soon as he claims his son and goes over to the good, he takes off his mask and he is white. Oh, yes, I have many, many feelings about that.
You want
to. Okay. I got to stop it there. Nigga, what? MHP, no, you did not just hotep it up, dog. No, MHP, no. MHP, you believe in transracial, dog. You interviewed that Rachel woman.
And didn't ask no hard hitting questions.
She was white until she decided to.
That she wasn't no more.
And the irony of that seemed to escape you in the situation, because what is race anyway? Who are we to say? And now you looking at the Star Wars. Oh no, baby, no. Oh man, that is.
Actually, niggas came out in full force when she was talking, didn't they?
That is precious. I have to play this, because this is what it reminds me of, but that is absolutely precious.
For years in this industry, whenever an African-American character, hero or villain, was introduced, usually by white artists and writers, they got slapped with racist names that singled them out as Negroes. Now, my book, White Hidden Coon, that bullshit. The hero's name is Malikwa. And he's a descendant from the black tribe that established the first society on the planet, while all you European motherfuckers were still hiding in caves and shit, all terrified of the sun. He's a strong role model that a young black reader can look up to. Because I'm here to tell you, the chickens is coming home to roost, y'all. The black man's no longer going to play the minstrel in the medium of comics and sci-fi fantasy. We keeping it real. And we going to get respect by any means necessary.
Come on, that's a bunch of horse shit. Lando Calrissian was a black guy, you know. He got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did. Lando Calrissian is a positive role model in the realm of science fiction fantasy.
Fuck Lando Calrissian, Uncle Tom, nigga. Always some white boy gotta invoke the Holy Trilogy. Bust this. Those movies are about how the white man keeps the brother man down, even in a galaxy far, far away. Check this shit. You got Cracker Farm Boy Luke Skywalker, Nazi poster boy, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you got Darth Vader, the blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. Now, Vader, he's a spiritual brother, you know, down with the Force and all that good shit. Then there's Cracker, Skywalker. Gets his hands on a lightsaber, and the boy decides he's gonna run the fucking universe. Gets a whole clan of whites together. And they gonna bust up Vader's hood, the Death Star. Now what the fuck do you call that?
Intergalactic Civil War?
Gentrification! They gonna drive out the black element to make the galaxy quote unquote safe for white folks.
And Jedi's the most
insulting installment because Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied when he pulls off his mask to reveal a feeble, crusty old white man. They trying to tell us that deep inside we all wants to be white.
Well, isn't that true?
Black rage! Black rage! I'm killing you white folks! I lay my motherfucking eyes on!
What movie is this?
It's Chasing Amy is the name of that movie. But yo, MHP went full Chasing Amy. She went full Black Rage. No. Oh, so now let's see what these white folks got to say about it. God damn.
To deal with that, Turner. This
I want to hear her whole clip, what she has to say.
Star Wars racist because James Earl Jones is the voice of one of the characters and he's black. I mean, I don't get it. Do you?
No, and you know, political correctness is killing our country. Political correctness is going to be responsible for killing more Americans. I mean, this is just overboard completely. And regarding Darth Vader, please, I mean, look, the Bible talks about darkness and light. This is about evil and good, darkness and light. This doesn't have anything to do with anything else. This is, goes back to biblical times. It's been discussed in the Bible. Jesus talks
but
about
the movie,
it. It's about
what?
Darkness and light, evil
what
and good.
What is she making this connection? It's about a fucking galaxy far, far away. What about that? Should we be what? I'm so confused here.
Everybody.
We got lifesavers. We got people using the Force.
Everybody going full Hotep on this motherfucking movie.
What? How did the Bible get into Star Wars? I'm so confused right now.
Nothing to do. You know, evil people traditionally in the movies always wear dark and good people are in white. The evil people come up on the black horses. The good people come up on the white horses. I mean, you know, this is darkness and evil. This has nothing to do with it. This kind of rhetoric, Varney, is what's ruining our country and putting us in this clear and present danger, which, you know, I believe the states
about
can take this back
movie.
Into their own hands, according to Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution.
Wait a minute. Turner, hold on a second. What? State that again. Which clause and which part of the Constitution?
Okay, I stumbled across this when I was dealing with health care, but in the Compact Clause of the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 3, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. It talks about that states cannot come together to do a compact without consent of the Congress. By the way, there's no consent of the president necessary. And yet, it says, there's this little thing that says they have to have consent of the Congress to come together unless the states are invaded or there is imminent danger. And then they don't have to get the consent of Congress. So as far as I'm concerned, we are in imminent danger. Yeah. We are in clear and present danger. We're beyond imminent. So the states can legally, constitutionally come together to defend the American people, these 30 governors. They don't need to be bullied by the federal government. They can do this on their own without consent of Congress under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3.
Wouldn't it be nice if that was raised as an issue in this week's debate among Republican candidates? Because that's a very good point. Very interesting. Mm. Yeah. Well, Turner, you did it again.
Just 100 for everybody, man. I'm fucking with it. As a nerd, I'm fucking with. As a black person,
right.
I'm fucking with. As motherfuckers can't even get the fucking tech context of Star Wars right. MHP went Hotep.
I mean, cause that was a snippet of what she said. What all did she
that was,
say?
That was it. Okay. I saw the whole thing, but that was the clip that's the only part that's pertinent when she brought
okay.
up.
Okay, I thought it was something else. That's why
Darth
I was asking.
Vader went from being a black man to a white man when he started taking care of his kid. This, just,
And it's sad, but to me, that's what you do when you don't have ratings. I mean, you need to get your ratings up.
It's just weird because like all these people have TV shows, but they're just fucking spitballing, man. They just out here trying to make it happen, dog. Like it's no fucking different than a podcast because apparently they just like coming up with shit on top of their heads that they're serious, not even played for laughs. They really are like sitting up here like, yeah, you know, because The Empire Strike Back is really about the gentrification of America, motherfucker. You're like, wow, that you just said that.
Right, this will happen when you need to fill time, like when you got 10 minutes and you done ran out of shit to cover or shit to talk about, because I don't know, because I'm not, you know, I don't really keep up with what she does, but I don't think people tune in for Star Wars when they tune
in. Well, she's a nerd. I'm not even trying to question her nerd credentials and shit. I think she's pretty a nerd, you know. I think Nerdland is the hashtag for the show. I mean, look, niggas have all kinds of strange ass, like, hotep conspiracy theories and shit. I was just really hoping she wouldn't be one, you know. Used to be Bay, man. Mm-hmm. For the Dolezal shit, man. She was there. Everybody loved her, man. And then just shit went way left, you know. But I don't know, man. You know, I guess it's better to have her around than not. You know, I'd much rather her have a TV show on the weekends,
right?
Or you know, whenever she hopefully moves into a regular rotation. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think she would ever go full Don Lemon on the folks.
I don't think she would. At least I hope she.
I just think the rose is kind of off the bloom with her for a lot of people who just feel like, you know, betrayed by that whole Dolezal shit.
Right.
She ain't never getting some people back. I seen people talk about it.
Ever, because like Saturday morning at like 10 a.m. Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. the town night would be lit. Well, it's not no more, but it used to be lit with people talking about her show. Yep. like literally like at 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, like that was, especially black females, that was the entire timeline. It was after that Rachel Dolezal, and I knew something was wrong because all I heard was people, you could just read the anger.
It was over
for people. And after that, 10 a.m. come and go, and it's like crickets. So I think a lot of people quit watching and they ain't never coming back.
Yeah, so man. Monday night in Las Vegas, Donald Trump had a campaign event that descended into violence. What? Hold on, what you trying to say? No, I can't believe that. BuzzFeed writer McKay Coppins attended the rally for the GOP presidential candidate and the real estate mogul. Reported to the Westgate Hotel and Resort, Coppins posted a video of a black protester being roughed up by supporters shouting, "Light that motherfucker on fire."
The First Amendment.
Let him get up.
Light the motherfucker on fire.
Light that motherfucker on fire. Cobbins reports that Trump gleefully narrates clashes between activists and security, press swarmed with camera phones, and supporters crowd around cheering surreal. Every time another activist gets dragged out the room, Trump berates reporters for taking pics. They are terrible, the worst, crowd boos. The violence has become commonplace at Monday night's event. Coppin reports there were multiple scuffles. A second video shows a protester being dragged and pushed by security. Earlier this week, video emerged of security guards at Trump rally in Pennsylvania throwing Jamila Hamami out onto the ground. Last month, an African-American man was beaten at a Birmingham, Alabama rally. In October, a Latino demonstrator was knocked to the ground and dragged by a Trump supporter in Florida.
I have a question. When they have these debates, why ain't nobody bringing this shit up? Why ain't nobody talking about, hey, dog, when you be having your shit, why you out here whooping folks' ass and allowing your, not you personally, mm-hmm. but you allowing people to get beat and you pushing and you supporting these people to get beat, you know? And but like, if they were smart, they would go, but that's against, like, if you are really, which you don't give a fuck, but if you're really trying to coax that brown vote,
mm-hmm.
you would really bring this shit up and begin to ask these questions.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Right.
They don't, our issues don't come up in these debates. It's one of the reasons I don't really like watching them.
I don't. I'll laugh at
Twitter, and if I, you know, between commercials.
Yeah, I do bits
when I'm watching
pieces.
Some other shit, but I mean, in general, I'm not very interested because one, they all sound like fools, and then secondly, our issues are never addressed by that group
ever.
I mean, they're barely addressed by Democrats, by the way. I mean,
come on now,
questions about blackness don't really come up over there either.
Right, this is the first year that people are like, earn our votes, and motherfuckers lost their goddamn mind. What do you mean earn your vote? Well, Nick, don't they earn your vote? Don't they have to do something to prove to you that they're worthy? Why can't they do it for my black ass?
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I don't know if the protesters are going to prove that his crowds are racist, violent, fucked up people, and show the optics of that, or what? It's the same reason I said I don't think it'll matter, and I don't think you'll see Black Lives Matter people actively protesting Republican candidates too much, because they're beyond redemption. They right. just they are willfully opposed, you
right.
know,
and they know you, they don't care,
you know. So I don't know, man.
Actually, Democrats don't care either, but you have to force them to care.
Yeah, so
you have to make issues, you have to make your issues their issues, to the point where they have to acknowledge it. And no matter what people are saying, the ground that has been broken and the standards that have been set, Black Lives Matter has played a huge role, and a lot of the civil rights organizations across the country, be it big and small, have played a huge role to them even acknowledging that fucking black people exist, versus they go, because most, you know, out of what, 90-something% clip most across the country, black people vote for Democrats. So it was just one of those things where they go, well, we got your vote in the pocket. I mean, you know, we're guaranteed your vote, but you know what? We can also not show up in the fucking polls either. People act like people not voting is not
Trump,
an option.
Trump does have some black supporters, such as this guy who spoke at a Trump rally.
But one of the people I got to know, and he's a friend of mine, and he had a horrible thing happen. His son, Jameel Shaw, you may have seen him. He's just been amazing. And whenever he's around, I say, do me a favor, say a few words. He'll explain what happened. With an illegal immigrant who killed his son viciously and violently, and he's become a friend of mine, and he's a great guy, and he's here with us, and let me bring him up. Jameel, come on up. Say a few words. Jameel.
Hello, everybody. I'll get right to the point. On March the 2nd, 2008, my son was shot dead in the street like a dog. By an illegal alien gangbanger, 18th Street gangbanger. He was on his third gun charge. Now, we hear all these gun people talking about banning guns, but you have a legal alien where on his third gun charge, never been deported, and the guy shot him through his hand into his head and killed him. It was vicious. I heard the gunshots. Of course, I ran outside, and I couldn't believe it. Even today, I couldn't believe it. I remember telling him, man, I told you, this people are crazy out there. I had just told him the day before. And, you know, our kids don't believe that, you know. And that's why we need Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is going to make it safe again, you know. Donald Trump is going to make it safe for your kids. My son is dead. I can't fix that. I wish I could. But I have another son, 17 years old. He was 8 at the time. Now, he's 17. I saw him the other day. Man, you know you're older than your brother now, you know, and it's really sad. And Trump is the only person that reached out to me out of all the politicians, all the black politicians in L.A. Nobody cares. It's all about illegal aliens. That's all they care about. They don't care about us as Americans. Trump wants to make America first. Okay? We need that. Our kids, all of our kids deserve to grow up. This is our time to live on the earth. Why do we have to be under this oppression from illegal aliens, and they're getting the American dream and we're getting the American nightmare? You know, it's not fair, and the only way we can fix it is with Donald Trump. I don't see no other way. If it was there, it would have happened before Trump. It was nothing going on. Now that he's here, they're scared, and we have to make sure it happens, because it's going to protect all of us and make us safe. And we got to stand with Trump, and you have to trust him the way I do, because I believe that he was sent from God. Thank you.
for me. You Karen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? Let's just do Guess the Race, because I actually have to get out of here and live tweet Patty's holiday pies.
Oh, that's tonight.
At 8:30. So,
oh, we watching that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, let me double check the time on that, because I'm pretty sure it's 8:30, because I remember marking it down. But plus, we're running low on ball alerts. We only got 3 left. Like, ain't that crazy, y'all? Let's see, schedule. Yeah, 8:30. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's into some Guess the Race. All right.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going all across podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. That's right, racist as hell. All right, let's get into the guesses. Guess the Race is brought to you by none other than Bevel. That's right, guys. Mm-hmm. Bevel is the one and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step your shave game up, guys. You know who I saw this morning when I went to go play basketball? Justin. And he was smiling. Why was he smiling? Because he got that Bevel. Don't you want to see the smile?
How he like it.
From people. He ain't used it yet. Okay. Don't you want to see the smile of just the happiness and anticipation on somebody's face when it's like, you really do care about me. You want me to be less irritated. You know, now Jesse can go to work and stop acting so uppity around these white folks. And he can just get around Master Trump and start being nice and polite, because you don't have that irritation on your skin no more, making you angry, pinning you up. You got a safety razor, shaving brush, blades, primer oil, shaving cream, and cool restoring balm. You know what I'm saying? Get it. It comes in a nice little box, but I say you take it out, wrap that joint up, mm-hmm. give it to somebody on Christmas, man. Go to their house, hand it to them, blah, blah, out. Here's your last shaving kit. You know what I mean? Like, it's the last time that person will ever think about going to the store and buying shaving cream and the 27 blade razors and that stuff that dries your skin out. They're done. It's customized, okay? It's like buying a bra that fits for a man's face. It's perfect. Make sure you guys help out the people you love. If not, treat yourself, okay? You only get one body. Treat yourself, man. Code TBGWT at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. And it's code TBGWT to get you 20% off of your first month. Now let's get into this sizzle. The Birmingham mayor got into a fight with a councilman at City Hall.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Gonna guess the race of the mayor. In Birmingham, Alabama, on Tuesday, a city councilman and the mayor got into a fight. A literal fist fight. They both had to go to the hospital with minor injuries. Police said Councilman Marcus Lundy is accused of assault. Mayor William Bell was the victim. A video of the council meeting captured sounds of a man repeatedly shouting no from outside the council chamber before the presiding member calls for a recess. Members scurried past double doors decorated with Christmas wreaths toward the noise as the gavel slams down and a perplexed look crosses the face of a man who was making a presentation. According to a police report, Lundy attacked Bell in a room behind council chambers while discussing a city matter that eventually turned to a personal issue. According to the report, Bell told police he turned and tried leaving the room 3 times. But the,
3 times.
Mm-hmm. He was a ghost of Christmas past, future, and present.
Right.
But that Lundy closed the door each time before grabbing him by the neck from behind and putting him in a chokehold.
Shit.
2 of Lundy's assistants came into the room to break up the scuffle but refused to give interviews with police until after they spoke with legal counsel. Damn.
Yeah, they was like, we don't want no problems.
Council President Jonathan Austin said Lundy told him that he planned to press charges against Bell, who Lundy alleges was trying to get him fired. What occurred at City Hall today is a direct reflection of the lack towards the council and the unwillingness to cooperate. We have worked continuously to move this city forward, and it's a sad day when council members are attacked while trying to do the job that they were elected to do. He said the incident was a result of Bell's unwillingness to cooperate with city council. This is a democracy, not a dictatorship. Guess the race of Mayor William Bell. Ass whooper.
Apparently so.
I second that motion with a left and a right. The letter from a Birmingham City all black. The mayor fights too much, like attorneys, like Anthony Mason black. He must have stepped on his Jordans black. Can you imagine wearing a suit with Jordans? It was a slap fight white. The Birmingham bomber, the ball from hell, mayoral alley black. The target audience for Patty's holiday box.
Oh, he was black.
I think one person did get it wrong, right? Oh man. I want to hear the whole audio of that.
Oh, you know that was off the chain.
You gonna get up off my damn...
That's the old black man.
You gonna get up off my damn face now, Marcus. Okay? Now, I ain't pull my knife out. I get the cutting up in here. You know, ever since we played spades, I ain't never liked your ass. Give me my Crown Royal bag. Got my knife in it. There's a live news report going on a broadcast, and it's about a bank robbery. Okay, because sometimes you got to get out there and cover the bank robbery live on TV.
Oh shit.
And right as that happened, the suspect happened to run by.
Oh, holy cow. First on the scene, hot takes.
Getting a bank robbery, but that has not been the only target for criminals this week. A local restaurant was also targeted in an attempted robbery. We first today turn to the bank investigation with KIMT News 3's Adam Sauer to talk to police this morning. He's live with more. Adam?
Tyler, just 24 hours ago, this bank in North...
That guy right there.
What?
That's the robber.
Oh, that's the robber. This is live TV, folks. That's the robber just went by, according to the bank employee. So I got to go here and call 911. I'll talk to you later.
Smart man.
I can assure you that was not set up. Now, Adam Salad is currently on the scene investigating. That was an employee of the bank that came out from Sterling Bank in Rochester. There was an attempted robbery again yesterday. We broke the story right here at the end of midday.
All right, now, we don't have the race of the robber, okay, guys? But guess the race of the bank employee who ran onto the camera to point out that the robber was somewhere. By the way, horrible camera work. Cause that dude didn't even cut over to the left to look and see if he could see the robber.
Mm-mm.
The cameraman just stayed there. Like maybe they didn't have a cameraman. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe he had like, you know how sometimes they have a tripod, yeah, but not the cameraman attached to it.
Yeah.
Maybe like he might not have had it on his shoulder per se.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he must have had it on a tripod, mm-hmm, and he didn't have another cameraman out there. Like maybe they cut back on staff these days. But yeah, employee came out. It was just like, that's him right over there. Yeah, that's the robber.
He was like, you know what? I got to go.
Yeah, he said, I got to call 911.
That's right, cook. That's not my job.
He was like, I ain't chasing down no robbers. This ain't 21 Jump Street. Well, everybody's scared to guess, man. So I'll just tell you, it was white and nobody gets it.
That was too slow. I'll be closing.
I don't know. Am I frozen?
I don't know where they started guessing. It must have been that delay.
Yeah, it must have been a long ass delay. Some people guess white. Let's see. He came out to do this. White, snitching ass bitch, black, white, credit good enough to be employed by bank, white. I'm not gay no more, black, so I'm still booing all y'all. Y'all took too long. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the point, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody is 1-1. We'll see how they finish off. All right. A Minnesota man guns down worker at employee's holiday party and fights with arresting officers.
Oh, shit.
Yep. A holiday party goer gunned down another reveler early Wednesday at a popular resort in northern Minnesota. They have those? So, sheriff's deputy arrested Kirk Bigby shortly after the protest, after the shooting, was reported about 12:15 a.m. Witnesses said the 61-year-old Bigby of nearby Finland and the victim had been at a casino-style party for employees of the Bluefin Grill when they left to go outside. Bigby came into physical contact with the victim before pulling a handgun and shooting him dead.
Oh, shit.
Man, people do get loose at them parties. I'm surprised this don't happen more often.
Right.
I remember one time I watched a snap about a dude that got into an argument with his girl at a holiday office party, and she drove over his ass in the SUV and killed him.
Shit.
Yep. Police located Bigby in a guest room at the resort and arrested him. Officer said Bigby was uncooperative during the arrest, and he suffered minor injuries in the struggle with the police. Investigators said they found a handgun in the room where Bigby was hiding. Witnesses said Bigby was an employee of the lodge, and the victim was working for another company that was providing services for the holiday party. The victim's name has not yet been released. The shooting came nearly a week after a Muslim man and his wife opened fire on co-workers, killing 14 people during a holiday party in San Bernardino, California. That shooting has been described as a terrorist act because the shooters who were killed later during a gun battle had expressed support of Islamic State militants. Oh, so this is old. Fox News analyst suggested that America should be suspicious of a guest named Syed, as a California shooter was called, left their party. And suggested they call the police. It's not clear if any other guests were suspicious that Bigby left a holiday gathering, but guests said the victim and the suspect had argued several minutes before the shooting. A couple of guys are arguing, said one guest, I have no idea what it was about. Bigby was booked in the Cook County jail on a preliminary charge of second degree murder. Guess the race of Mr. Kirk Bigby, guys. White boldness, Minnesota, showing out at an office party. White, Clayton's white brother. Ha, tantrums with Tech Nines, old ass white dude. White as the black workers were minding their own business. The Dukes made a dollar bet on him. White, white, they love shooting up they CWs. I can fight the police, don't you know, white? Yeah, I will say this, if it was a black person, they probably would have been too busy teaching the white people how to dance at the party. So, because you know that's what we have to do. Anyway, you guys got it right. I don't think anybody missed that. Here's his picture. Don't he look like he shot up some shit?
Oh, yes, he does.
Like, who would argue with that guy anyway?
Not me. You could have everything.
I don't care what he was saying. That's, I know, true. He just looked like he wanted to shoot somebody. Let's do another one, guys, for the Christmas spirit. All right. A woman was jailed after burning a man's genital using a hot iron during sex.
What?
Kenya Alouzi, okay, was caught by police at Heathrow Airport as she prepared to leave the country to return to Nigeria. A woman has been jailed for 9 years after burning a man's genitals with a hot iron while they were having sex. Kenya Alouzi, 31, of no fixed abode, was found guilty of grievous bodily harm with intent on December 14th. The former Coventry University student Alouzi was arrested after attacking a man in his 30s. On May 15th, while the couple were having sex, Alouzi took a hot iron to the man's leg and genitals. She then attacked him with a broken bottle. The victim sustained multiple burns and deep cuts, and which required him having surgeries to treat. At the time of the attack, Alouzi's student's visa was due to expire, and she was expected to return to her family in Nigeria at the end of May. She was residing in Plumstead in accommodations with friends. Following an investigation into the attack by Greenwich police, Alouzi was caught on May 24th at Heathrow Airport as she was preparing to leave the country. Detective Constable Duncan Clark from Greenwich Police said Alouzi committed a calculated and pre-planned attack. She ensured she had a broken bottle to hand and a hot iron to strike the victim and seriously harm him. The sentence imposed clearly reflects the seriousness of this extremely violent attack. Man, only 9 years? Seemed like that's like attempted murder or something. Anyway, guess the race of Kenya Alouzi, ball burner. Spear Chucker Black, blacker than his hot genitals. Oh yeah, I guess he did have chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Marcel Curlin, iron and blue magic grease has multiple uses. Black Crips and Bloods trainer. White, just because I like blaming white people for stuff. He left her burning with a STD. She was returning the favor. Oh. In space, no one. What race is that, Elise? In space, no one can hear you chirp. Oh! Tired of being the side chick, black. I guess she had side chick status, main bitch dreams. Because she was black. You guys are all right. So yeah, black woman did it. Some of you missed it. All right, and let's go to sword ratchetness. Think she had to straighten her hair with a hot comb for that mugshot. She's like, before I go in, hold on. It's like, put it down, put the comb down, ma'am,
because that's a weapon.
We know what you do with it. A Utah man was jailed after threatening a woman with a samurai sword. A Utah man is in jail after pleading guilty to chasing a woman with a samurai sword. The Herald Journal reports that court records say that the Logan woman let a homeless couple live in her house.
Oh,
okay. She asked them to leave. I guess she really believed in the Bible. She asked them to leave when she learned that they were allegedly stealing things from a vacant apartment and bringing them to her home. The couple left, but the man later returned to argue with the Logan woman about getting the rest of his belongings. She demanded that he return the allegedly stolen property first. Police say the man briefly left and returned to threaten the woman with a samurai sword. They say the woman called 911 while the man kicked in her door, took his things, and left. She is so lucky that did not turn out worse. Letting homeless people with swords in your house like it's all good.
Like it's all good, dog.
I'm not trying to blame the victim, but I gotta blame the victim on this one.
That ain't all good.
You got so lucky. A man armed with a samurai sword at AFP headquarters. A man allegedly armed with a knife and a samurai sword was able to get past security and walk into the Australian Federal Police headquarters in Sydney. What the hell is going on in Australia? The 22-year-old...
I said Wonga.
Wonga's
too busy. Them your peoples.
They too busy waiting for the Force Awakens to come out. The 22-year-old allegedly drove into the CBD building's underground car park on Tuesday after telling guards he was there for an appointment. The AFP has confirmed. The man walked around the building before getting into a lift with a counterterrorism officer who confronted him when they got out. Police officers allegedly found a knife on the man and a samurai sword in his car.
Shit.
He was charged with trespassing and other offenses and faced Sydney Central Local Court on Wednesday. An initial review of the incident indicates the breach of security protocols was caused by human error. The AFP has stringent security protocols in a place for all its sites. These protocols are all under constant review and are regularly adjusted according to risk assessments to ensure they're appropriate to the security environment. Well, then how did nigga get the sword in? it sounds so good in hindsight, except for this idea that a dude just walked in with a knife and a sword, like, hey, what's up, y'all? The safety and security of the community and AFP employees is always the most priority as a result of the investigation into the breach is currently underway. The infiltration incident comes just 2 days after five people, including a 15-year-old boy, were charged over plotting a terror attack on the AFP's headquarters. So 5 days ago, y'all caught motherfuckers talking about we're going to do some terrorism to the police.
5 days.
And then a motherfucker walked in with a sword. God, that's probably because Australians ain't scared of nothing.
Everything can kill you.
Crikey, it's a crowbar in here. Just throw it out.
Shit, you have an alligator come in here and bite your head off. I'm not worried about you.
All right, guys, listen. Darth Vader was a black man until he wanted to take care of his son. Then he was white. Remember that, because the prequels never happened and all that stuff. Also, I forgot to mention, we do have an Amazon wish list.
Yes, we do.
When people said they wanted to do things for us for holidays and stuff, they were like, create an Amazon wish list. Mm-hmm. I've never done that before. I didn't really even think
about it
being something to do, but
right.
People have been sending us stuff. I haven't opened up anything. Actually, you guys got me in the Christmas spirit. Like, I actually went out, I bought a small Christmas tree.
I love it.
And I took the time out to buy some wrapping papers and some boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And along with some gifts that I already had bought for Karen and myself, I put them in boxes. And I would take pictures, but it's social media. Everybody's going to judge.
Ah, they my precious. House,
and my wrapping is not the best.
I loved it. The Christmas tree is one of those Christmas trees that it like illuminates and the lights blink around and shit. It was pretty.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Karen.
I was happy. I was just shocked it was there because we're not hot by humbug, but we don't really put up a lot of Christmassy stuff.
Well, I thought it would be nice to celebrate Christmas, and all our fans and stuff have been sending us stuff from the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it so that it doesn't tell me who sent me what yet. I guess we have to open it up to see. I don't know how it works, but
we can keep it private.
We have all kinds of stuff on there, and we appreciate people sending us stuff, man. We tried to pick out a range of stuff that wasn't we didn't put like a new car, it's
no
shit like calendars and shit like that on there,
hats and shit like that,
but thank you guys who took the time out to do that.
Means a lot.
Yeah, it really does
that you even took the time out to think about us.
And for premium folks, we'll be back tomorrow for Balls Deep Sports with Justin. And for non-premium folks, we'll be back Saturday for the feedback show. And we still have a full slate of shows coming because I think Christmas is until like Friday or something. So we've still got a full slate of shows coming.
Yes, we do.
And more movie reviews, all that good stuff is coming. And thank you so much for y'all's support. Y'all made this year really great.
Yes, y'all
so
did.
Far, y'all making Christmas really great.
Yes.
We just can't appreciate it enough.
Yeah.
All right, man, we'll be back later on. Until then, make sure you support Bevel Told TBGWT, same with adamandeve.com. So until then, I love you
too. Mwah.